Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. Let's open with a word of prayer this morning. Father, we bow down before you and are just mindful of your presence. And Lord, thank you for your prayers in the Bible that teach and show us so much of those praying to you. And as we see you responding, and Lord, we just thank you for prayer. So lead us this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're going to be in 1 Kings 8 today. The longest prayer, if it's not the longest prayer in the Bible, it's one of the longest prayers in the Bible, is Solomon's prayer of dedication of the new temple in 1 Kings 8. If you look at your notes, I have one little change in the notes this week. I have two songs shown up there. The first one is what we're going to sing at the beginning, and this last one, the second one, is what we're going to sing at the end. So I was just thinking of this dedication has a lot of praise to the Lord to it for his faithfulness and for the new temple. But I thought we would just praise the Lord in general this morning. Praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of creation. O my soul, praise him, for he is thy health and salvation. Amen. So let's sing along. Praise to the Lord. Can I share with you just a little personal praise?
Yes.
Yes.
I like that.
Yes. You know, I think of times of those words, let go and let God, right? And I really need that because I'm always kind of a jump in and do it no matter what. And sometimes I remember to pray and then let go and let God. And other times I pray quickly and then I take over, right? And I'm sure that that never happens to you. But the praise I want to give you is this, that if we add to let go, let God, and we preface that by pray, let go, let God, and then let go, but continue to pray as you feel, well, I got to do something. Just pray and wait for the Lord. And he, you know, we know the verse, trust in him and he will acknowledge your acknowledge him and he will guide your paths. And we know all the scriptures, but do we do it? And then when we watch him work, it is so absolutely beautiful and so much better than anything that we could ever do. But we have to wait on him to let it unfold. And that's where sometimes I just don't think I can wait that much longer, so I better get started on something. I think of the disciples, you know, when Peter said, we got to replace Judas. And, you know, I'm not saying that they didn't really, because they did a godly way, I guess. But they seemed to move pretty fast on choosing Matthias. And they asked the Lord, which of these two should we choose? And that's maybe when I pray, that's my choice. Which of these two, Lord, should I do? And he's got something totally different in mind. And I limit him so much. Because if I say, which one of these shall I choose? I really narrow down what he may want to do, and then I go with that, right? The message then is, this last week we had, and I had several different occasions where some things occurred, and I didn't really know which. I mean, they were not big things. It was not like, you know, if the car is coming, get out of the way kind of a thing. It wasn't quite like that. But, you know, I didn't quite know what to do. And so I just prayed, and I had some ideas, but I didn't follow on any of them. I just prayed, and I waited, and I waited. Not, you know, out of, oh, I don't know how long I can wait. I just waited. And when they came to me to do something, it was just pray. And then the Lord did such beautiful outcomes of those situations, something that I could never dream of myself. And so I encourage you to wait on the Lord. And you know, most of us, or at least me, I am so prideful and so self-important, I think I got to do something. You know, he really doesn't need me to do anything. Yeah. Nothing. I'm like zero zip, nada. But he can work through us if we're available, and he will, right? So rather than jump into your own schemes, pray and let go and get out of the way, right? Today in 1 Kings 8, we have Solomon's blessing. We have the ark brought into the temple, the new temple, and Solomon assembled the elders of Israel and all the heads of the tribes, the chief fathers of the children of Israel, to King Solomon in Jerusalem, that they might bring up the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord from the city of David, which is in Zion. And so they bring the Ark in, and then we have this great dedication prayer. It's really the longest prayer, one of the longest prayers in the Bible. It goes from verse 22 to 61 in 1 Kings 8. And as we kind of just go over it, we'll just kind of hit the high points of it, because we could spend a couple of weeks on this, let alone a few minutes. But we see him beginning the prayer in standing. He stands before the altar of the Lord in the presence of all the assembly of Israel, and he spreads out his hands to heaven. So he's beginning his prayer in this way. It's not important, I don't think, on our position necessarily, but we do see him. When you're standing and lifting your arms, you do have tendency, I think, to praise the Lord. And when you're just standing, oh, yeah, praise the Lord, you know. So he's standing now. By the time he gets done, we don't know when he kneeled, but when he gets done, in verse 54, it says, "And so it was when Solomon had finished praying all this prayer and supplication to the Lord that he arose from before the altar of the Lord from kneeling on his knees with his hands spread up to heaven. Then he stood and blessed all the assembly of Israel with a loud voice." So we see he started standing, but he somewhere along the line fell to his knees as he's praying this prayer. And now he's just giving the Lord praise. "Lord God of Israel, there is no God in heaven above or on earth below you who keep your covenant and mercy with your servants who walk before you with all your heart. Verse 23, you have kept what you promised your servant David, my father. You have both spoken with your mouth and fulfilled it with your hand as it is this day. Therefore, Lord God of Israel, now keep what you promised." So Solomon will begin a whole series here of requests and exhortation. And in the summary, I just summarized some of these things. He asked God to hear in this prayer 12 times. He asked God to forgive 5 times. He asked God to keep 4 times, to maintain their cause 3 times, to let twice, and to listen twice, that your eyes may be open twice, and to do twice, and then some other things. Regard the prayer, grant them compassion, act, give, and so forth. But these are all parts of his supplication in accordance with this dedicatory prayer. 8 times he links an instance of sin or problems or something or other with the clause, "here in heaven, here in heaven, here in heaven." You'll see that 8 times in here, "here in heaven." For example, verse 31, "When anyone sins against his neighbor and is forced to take an oath and comes and takes an oath before your altar in this temple, then here in heaven, then here in heaven, then here in heaven." In this case, act, "then here in heaven and act and judge your servant." And we go on, then the very next one, "when your people Israel are defeated before an enemy because they've sinned against you, and when They turn back to you and confess your name and pray and make supplication to you in this temple, then here in heaven. Then here in heaven, in this case, forgive the sin of your people and bring them back to the land which you gave to their fathers. So he just kind of goes down the list for the nation here of what we need. And this is a great example of kind of a detailed prayer where he's asking specific things. But I think it's good to get the flow of this prayer. And he's praying to the nation of Israel. This is not just a personal petition for him. And this is, of course, what the nation needs. One of the things I like here in verse 27 is such a great understanding of God in a way. Verse 27 reads, "But will God indeed dwell on the earth?" He's talking about in that temple and they've built and so forth. And he then says what? "Behold, heaven and the heaven of heavens cannot contain you." When we're praying to somebody really big. Really big. Sometimes we think, you know, well, God's a little bit bigger than I am, you know. And, you know, I don't know if he really has a good answer for this or not. I mean, I don't, that's kind of an overstatement. But we minimize him, I think, way too often. And we don't have the awe and respect that he certainly deserves and is. "But heaven and heaven of heavens cannot contain you, how much less this temple which I have built. Yet regard the prayer of your servant and his supplications, O Lord God. Listen to the cry and the prayer which your servant is praying before you today." All very good words. So when you are in prayer and maybe you are dry or you can't think about really what to pray for in a way, just read this prayer and it will remind you of so many different things of how God has blessed us. And then we go on here. He kind of recites the verse from Joshua as he closes here, kind of a benediction. Verse 56, "Blessed be the Lord who has given rest to his people Israel." Remember how Joshua said rest and then how we have in Hebrews enter into his rest. But here he's praying for rest, which is what we all can get from him and so desperately need, really. "Blessed be the Lord who has given rest to his people Israel according to all that he promised." And here's the promise really that Joshua had said as well in chapter 24, I believe it was. "There has not failed one word of all his good promise." Can you state that in your life, or do you thank the Lord for that in your life? Because I know it's true. Because I know it's true for every one of us. "He has not failed one word of all his good promise." And you say, "Yeah, he has, because I asked him, you know, for $1 million, and I'm not sure he promised you $1 million, but he promised you something much better than that, and that's eternal life. There's not failed one word of all the good promise which he promised through his servant Moses. So he makes it somewhat specific here. "May the Lord our God be with us as he was with our fathers. May he not leave us nor forsake us, that he may incline our hearts to himself, to walk in all his ways and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, which he commanded our fathers." In verse 59, "And may these words of mine with which I have made supplication before the Lord be near the Lord our God day and night." That's an interesting prayer, isn't it? Have you ever asked the Lord that may my supplications be near you day and night, that he may maintain the cause of his servant and the cause of his people Israel as each day may require, that all the peoples of the earth may know that the Lord is God, there is no other. Let your heart, therefore, be loyal to the Lord our God, to walk in his statutes and keep his commandments as is at this day. Well, Father, we thank you for this dedicatory prayer. The length of it and the breadth of it is truly unbelievable to behold. And help us in our prayers, whether they be short or whether they be longer. We want to just pray as you lead us to pray and as guided by the Holy Spirit. And in a group prayer, it's always good to keep it short. So, Lord, just help us to hit the points you want us to hit, in a sense, this morning. And we do praise you and thank you for the opportunity to come to you. So let us pray now.